Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, land, plants, and wildlife here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and today we are talking about a local organization that is dear to my heart. It's a local land trust called North Coast Land Conservancy, and it's celebrating a really special anniversary this year. And joining me in the studio today are two of its wonderful staff people, John Wickersham and Cassie and I. Welcome to you both.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Teresa.
It's so great to have you here. And before we really dig into the work that NCLC does and all the cool things that are going on, I want you both to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about how you're connected to the North Oregon coast and how you got involved with North Coast Land Conservancy. John, do you want to start?
Yeah.
I know you had a long connection to the North Coast.
Yeah, thanks, Teresa. I'm the associate director, and I've been with North Coast Land Conservancy for about 15 years. I grew up in Gearhart, went to Seaside High School, so I've had a long connection to the coast and just feel very fortunate to be back working on the coast.
Yeah, it's so great. I feel like I have to say, like, I full disclosure, I used to work for North Coast Land Conservancy years ago, back when John was hired. And I still remember when he first started working and just being like, oh my God, that's the guy. I mean, he's going to do the deals. And he has. And it's been amazing. So
it was a long time ago.
It really was. I know. But it's so great that you're still there and still connected. Cassie, what about you?
Well, I also am a native Oregonian. I grew up in Canby and went to college in Eugene. And came to the coast quite a bit with my parents. It was how we vacationed in the summer.
Where did you go?
Usually more of the Central Coast, Lincoln City and Newport are the ones that come to mind. We didn't actually spend a lot of time in Seaside. But I moved from Seattle to the coast in 2013. And worked for a variety of nonprofits and volunteering and as paid staff. And I saw the position for development director come out for North Coast Land Conservancy. And even though I was already employed full time, this was my dream job. Like every day I get to connect people to the beauty and like the importance of the coast. And I love every minute of it.
That's so great. Thank you both. Before we begin, I think maybe can you talk a little bit about what a land trust does? What is North Coast Land Conservancy and what's the work that you do?
Yeah. So we're partially here to celebrate our 40th anniversary, so which is really, really exciting. So we work from the Columbia River down to the Siletz Bay, from the tips of the Coast Range out into the ocean. And we work with willing landowners to protect property for its wildlife habitat, and we also look at long-term stewardship and then also connecting people to land through education. So we have events like Weed Warrior Wednesday, where we get people out on the property to pull weeds, and then we have host educational events at our new office, which also has a community room. So we're really embedded in the community and helping to sort of
just connect people to the land.
Yeah.
And I think what some people don't always get is land conservation work. I mean, you're talking about protecting land in perpetuity. So whether it's an easement that's attached to the deed or whether NCLC is buying the property outright and owning it, this land is now protected forever. I mean, that's a really long time. How does that feel? I mean, that's a big responsibility.
Really
John's
is.
Looking panicky.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is a big responsibility and one we take very seriously, too. And the more property that we get, the bigger the responsibility it is. And we have a great staff that helps us monitor our properties and steward them and take care of them. But we also have a big volunteer base that helps us as well. So we take that responsibility very seriously.
And I know, Cassia, you're probably more connected to volunteers and donors and supporters and engaging that kind of emotional connection to land. What do you feel, what is it that brings people to be involved in land conservation work? And why is it important to them?
That's such a great question. And it's one of my favorite ones to ask. And especially now, having been here for 12 or 13 years, it's a very consistent answer, and it's simply that people will come here for the beauty, but they stay for the community. And it's both of those things that I think North Coast Land Conservancy has really excelled at from its beginning in 1986. It just started with a group of community members who saw the natural beauty and saw the importance of the rivers and the mountains and creating wildlife corridors. So the elk and the birds and the beavers, and they just had places to go, and it wasn't in people's backyards. And they really came together with a core set of values that we have worked with through the decades. And one of them is finding common ground. You think about 1986, and it was a pretty controversial time when the environment was brought up. I was pretty young at the time. But
you hear stories.
Yeah.
You hear stories about how fraught it was. And I remember that even back in 2009, when I got involved with the organization, that there was a really focused approach about, you know, we don't talk about the things that we're against, you know, that we talked about what we were for and the vision that we had for protection, for habitat, for conservation, and for connectivity. And that was really amazing. I hadn't really thought about it in those terms, but that's a really challenging thing to do at any time in the world, and NCLC does it so well to really bring a very diverse group of people together to find common ground.
That's well said. And I think our founding executive director, Neil Main, was very intentional about that. There is not a week that goes by where I don't have a supporter telling a story about how he connected them to nature and how they have miniature nature preserves in their own backyard, or they are volunteering to clean up the beach, or for Weed Warrior Wednesdays or Tidy Wild Tuesdays at North Coast Land Conservancy. And it's really incredible. But he didn't want to grow it too fast. It was a very organic growth. And he kind of handpicked the next executive director, Katie Volke. And she was a biologist. She didn't anticipate in a year running an organization that has become as large and as successful as North Coast Land Conservancy. It was baby step by baby step, and I think that's part of the beauty. We don't have to force anything. It's a natural, people like attracts like.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened.
It's really amazing to see the change, I think, even from when, you know, I was with the organization. And, you know, I think about the land deals that were happening then and the land that was being conserved, and it was super exciting. But since I left, and John, I really want to address this to you, you know, because you came on, it was like 2009, 2010 that you got involved. And it feels like the projects have just grown in complexity. And probably the most complex was the amazing project that that you guys call the Rainforest Reserve. And I'd love for you to talk about that, but also talk about how your role and how the act of conservation has changed over the time. In a sense, doing the deals. You know, I remember it was kind of fraught and sort of challenging, and you're always trying to wrangle grant money and get people together. And how has it changed over the years for you?
Yeah, it's changed quite a bit over the last 15 years. When I started, there was 4 staff people. We were taking pretty much any property that we could get. We were mostly grant focused, and so pretty reliant on state and federal grants for those projects. And but now we're really looking at connectivity, landscape connectivity, looking at bigger parcels, bigger properties, and looking at expanding current habitat reserves that we have. And one of the biggest properties that you mentioned earlier that we worked on was the Rainforest Reserve. And that was a 5-year campaign to protect 3,500 acres. And we were able to raise about $12 million. And that money came half from state and federal grants and then half from private donations as well. And so when we've been looking at expanding our conservation program, it's been looking at climate resiliency. And so carbon sequestration is one of the big things that we've been looking at. And that was one of the big reasons why we want to do the Rainforest Reserve. And then and then looking at connectivity of the landscape. So the Rainforest Reserve connects to Oswald West State Park and then the Cape Falcon Marine Reserve as well. And as you said, these things have gotten a lot more complicated over the years, and looking at mineral rights, looking at roads and access easements, working with bigger timber companies has been a little bit of a challenge for us as well, but one that we've been able to navigate pretty successfully. and the Rainforest Reserve closed in 2021. And I think that that has really started to change the way that we look at new acquisition projects and the way that they're funded as well. And so we've been pretty reliant on, like I mentioned before, on state and federal grants, but we've been very successful in the recent future or recent past in protecting, expanding the Rainforest Reserve, and then also expanding our habitat at Circle Creek. And those have been mostly with private donations, and Cassia and our development team has done a fantastic job connecting donors with nature and really getting people excited about the work that we're doing.
I was really excited to see in your latest newsletter, I think, talk about exactly like the Rainforest Reserve just expanded by, I think, another 80 acres. And then the property at Circle Creek, which for those of you who don't know, is kind of like the headquarters of North Coast Land Conservancy. It's just outside of Seaside. It's in the Kanakum River floodplain. It's about 360-some acres.
364.
Okay, yeah. It was close.
Right on.
And it is where now their offices and conservation center are located. And it's one of the, I would say, call it the flagship properties of NCLC. It's also one of the places where it's easiest for people to connect to nature. I know that the trails aren't open this time of year. We're speaking in the winter. If you're listening to this as a podcast some other time of year, you should check their website and see. But there's amazing trails out there, and you can walk through so many different habitats. It's just beautiful. Just beautiful. And so exciting that that's expanding too, because pretty much you can go from, I mean, if you were really adventurous, you could walk from Circle Creek to Ecola State Park and never leave protected land.
Yeah, that area too is a conservation corridor that spans about 32 square miles because, like you said, Circle Creek Habitat Reserve is now, with the expansion that's less than a month old, 388 acres, and it's adjacent to North Coast Land Conservancy's Boneyard Ridge, which is 340 acres, and that is adjacent to Elden-Feldenheimer State Natural Area, adjacent to Ecola Creek Park, and that is actually next to rocky intertidal habitat that is also protected. So it's this beautiful mountain to see.
And we're talking about, this is Tillamook Head.
Yes.
For people who can't quite place where we're talking about, I mean, pretty much like the top of Tillamook Head is all part. So from the side of Seaside, you go up over Tillamook Head and then come down into Cannon Beach. And it's just amazing. It's so beautiful. And you've both mentioned the phrase wildlife corridors. Can you explain what those are and why they're so important?
That's a great question.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Habitat is really looking at, we also mentioned connectivity. Mm-hmm. So it's really the connection between properties, conserved properties that allow wildlife to move uninterrupted and unimpeded. And so when we're looking at doing our conservation work, that's really what we're looking at is connectivity, connectivity between habitats. So looking like when we mentioned Circle Creek, looking at connecting the floodplain to Tillamook Head and then connecting Tillamook Head to the ocean and building corridors where you sort of get all of the habitat advantages that a species might need uninterrupted.
I loved too, and I remember talking to people who lived along the Neocoxi Wildlife Corridor, which is the area that stretches sort of from Gearhart up to Warrenton all along the Clatsop Plains, and how what was also really important there was there were a number of properties that North Coast Land Conservancy owns and protects there, but there's lots of houses and different people that live in and around there, there's golf courses and things, and how one of the things I loved was telling people about that and making the connection for people that your property, your garden is also a wildlife habitat, that you are part of this wildlife corridor. And so we can think about nature as happening somewhere else or over on this protected piece of land. But actually, if you know, you are part of these corridors, and so you can still provide habitat in your gardens for migratory songbirds and insects and, you know, depending on where you live, you know, elk or deer or all kinds of other things. And so getting people to understand that, yes, you have conserved properties, but that we're all essentially part of a wildlife corridor. I think that what you're doing is just allowing there to be absolutely protected, uninterrupted by a house or a fence property where ecosystems can function.
Yeah, that's really well put. It's funny, just yesterday I was on a hike, and it's a hike I've done before, and it's beautiful along the bay, and there's great big old trees and wonderful bird song as I'm walking, and I'm going down this familiar part of it, and there is it's a house that's being built, and it's right up next to the path. And it was the first time that I made the connection, like, oh, like if I was some magnificent creature, animal, needing to get from one side of this to the other, would I be comfortable doing that if I had food on the other side or shelter on the other side? And, you know, being a human, I can walk across the path, and if someone's like, hey, this is private property, or you're right on my line, get off, you know, I could have a conversation. But as an, like, another animal might not be able to do that. And so those, having that connectivity is really important. And secondary to that, I think as humans, sometimes it's really easy to imagine that we are separate from nature. But really, one of the things that we think about a lot is how, as humans, we are impacting the natural world. And it also has an impact on us. And not just like the weather, but the beauty, the magnificence, getting outside and the awe that can just take your breath away and give you a moment. And sometimes when life is hard, just lets your nervous system relax a little bit. And we are all about that too.
That is so beautifully put. And for those of you who are just joining us today on In Season, I want to let you know that I'm speaking with Cassia Nye and John Wickersham from North Coast Land Conservancy. They're a local land trust based in Seaside, but covering pretty much the whole sort of north and some central Oregon coast. And they're celebrating their 40th anniversary as an organization this year. And it's really exciting to think about, you know, the habitat now. And one thing that I love is thinking about volunteers going out and planting plants on these properties, planting trees, planting shrubs and things that are going to be able to live out their natural life. And that was really awe-inspiring for me when I was planting trees on some of these lands. Just thinking about, like, this tree could live to be, you know, hundreds of years old. I mean, I'm not going to be around to see it, but hopefully someone will be, or something will be, or the tree will be. It doesn't matter, but just feeling like you're being a part of this landscape and contributing to it and being connected to it in such a way is so powerful.
Yeah, that concept of legacy is really great. And it's also something that we talk about a lot, because really, life is pretty short. And we always make the joke at work, think like a rock, not like a clock. Because forever is a long time. And when we protect a piece of land, we help to set it on a trajectory of healing, and then we care for it forever.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. Yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah. We always say we're on the, when we're looking at management plans, and we're always on the 500-year plan. So we look at things a little bit differently.
It does make you think about time differently, mm-hmm. and think about those legacies, like you said. And it takes a lot of the pressure off, in a sense, because you're not expecting things to happen overnight. You realize that they're going to take decades, and it's probably going to extend beyond both. It is going to extend beyond both of your working life and beyond all of our lives, you know, but it will continue. And that's such a cool thing. I do want to ask you about, you know, in this year that I know you're celebrating lots of things because it is your anniversary. How can people get connected? How do they get involved? You have a lot of cool volunteer projects. You've mentioned some of them. Are there other ways that people can visit some of the lands? I know not all the lands are open to the public because of various, like, sensitive habitats, but there are some that people can visit, usually like as part of a tour. Tell us a little bit about how people would find out about that.
That's great. Great to hear. The best way to find out all of that information is going to be on our website, which is nclctrust.org, or you can, you know, search for North Coast Land Conservancy. And what'll pop up is information on all of that, which properties are open, which habitats you need a kayak or canoe to access, which ones have trails. And like you mentioned, Circle Creek Habitat Reserve is the one that is most public facing, and that's on the south side of Seaside. And it is open dawn till dusk, spring through fall. And the reason it's not open this time of year is because it's flooding, which we all celebrate, that redistribution of nutrients. But many of the trails are blocked or inaccessible, and it becomes a little dangerous for people to access. But spring through fall, mid-fall, is usually a beautiful time to be out there to see habitat restoration in progress.
That is so cool. And I would say, too, that you guys have a great newsletter. So if people want to join your mailing list and get regular updates, I mean, it's not an obnoxious amount of updates. I will definitely say thank you for that. But the newsletters are great, and it lets you know what's happening and about new pieces of property you're conserving, but also like what's happening in terms of, do you want to get out and join in for a planting? You've had some really cool plantings, and people of all ages. And skill sets. That's what I love, too. I mean, you have like little tiny kids and then people in their 80s all out, you know, planting plants together. That's so cool to see.
It's really wonderful. Yeah, it's part of that community that we are intentionally building. And I think it's a wonderful way for people to not just be outside and connect with like-minded folks, but also to get a sense of that legacy. Like, how do they want to leave the world? And many people want to leave it better than they found it. And often planting a tree is a great way to do that. So to subscribe to our newsletter, that can also be found on our website, nclctrust.org. Just scroll to the bottom and click subscribe. And those newsletters come out every couple of weeks. And it is really great to get the good news that's happening.
There are very positive stories, and I feel sometimes like the world can be so overwhelming and fraught with lots of things. And I find your newsletters very soothing because it's good news. Yeah. They're happy stories, they're positive things, and also talking about positive things. And we do live in such an extraordinarily beautiful place. I am often shocked sometimes when I'm driving to town from my farm and they're just like, oh yeah, there's a bald eagle. Oh yeah, there's like, oh, the flock of white pelicans is out again. Oh, there's amazing. Oh, look at the mountains reflected in Young's Bay and all this. And I don't literally stop, but I have to stop myself sometimes and remember, you know, or if I'm just out anywhere or taking a hike somewhere, it's extraordinary. And there's a reason why so many people come from all over the world to visit this place, because it is so beautiful. When you live here, you can kind of take it for granted a little bit.
That's one of the great things about our volunteer opportunities too, is you get to get on the properties, get to see places you might not normally get to go to, and properties that maybe aren't open to the public too, and get to do good work.
That is really cool too. I will say, I always kind of loved that. I was like, ooh, we can't really go on this property, but I get to go on this property because we're doing a volunteer day. And some of the places are so extraordinary. And I want to remind people too that, I mean, there are things about this landscape that are nowhere else. I mean, some of the peaks in the Rainforest Reserve. So when we talk about that, it's basically that whole mountain range up behind like Cannon Beach, Arch Cape, going down to Oz West. I mean, when you look up at the mountains, you're pretty much looking up at the Rainforest Reserve.
Yeah, it's right? Part of that complex that includes Saddle Mountain, Kidder's Butte, the Rainforest Reserve, so Onion Peak, Angora Peak. There's roughly a handful of species that exist nowhere else on Earth, but on those peaks.
That is so mind-blowing. Cool. I mean, that could be so unique for how they evolved just on the top of those mountains. And that blows my mind. But then also I feel like my heart feels really glad that it's like, okay, those little species are going to be able to survive and hopefully thrive because the ecosystem around them is allowed to survive and thrive.
We could probably have a whole show just about Onion Peak and the plants up there. But there's also great write-ups on our website about the Rainforest Reserve and the Onion Peak and the plants that exist up there and why the Rainforest Reserve is so important.
It's really extraordinary. And I definitely feel like, I mean, I remember getting to meet so many amazing biologists and botanists and watching their eyes just bug out and be so excited and talk to me in plant Latin. And I didn't understand most of what they were excited about, but I got the excitement and I got the passion and I got how thrilled people were, you know, or when like a bird species was spotted and, or just discovering some new part of a piece of land that was awe-inspiring. And sometimes it's not like the most fantastical places that are awe-inspiring. It's sometimes it's just the quiet places. And you're just seeing the most amazing things. You know, seeing the elk come out of the mist, or coyotes, or hearing the coyotes in the distance, you know, or knowing you have some great wildlife cameras too going You had a talk recently at Fort George that had some footage from wildlife cameras, and it was amazing. The bears that were on it. And it's like, I've always known that bears live in this area, but I've never seen a bear. But then seeing footage of them is like, oh, yeah, there's bears out there.
Yeah. And people don't see them very often. They're very shy creatures. But yeah, the photos of the mama bear with the cubs, and it's just the sweetest thing.
Oh, I know. It really fills my heart to know that this work is happening. And I'm so grateful to the both of you and to everybody who works with NCLC for continuing this work and engaging with people in this ways. I wanted to ask before we go, do you have a favorite property? Is like favorite child, favorite pet, favorite whatever, but is there a place that's really special to you that you feel like you really connect with?
Oh, that's a tough question.
How to pick?
You could pick a few. You can pick a handful. It doesn't have to be
probably
one.
All the ones that you would think of: the Rainforest Reserve, Circle Creek. You know, I've had the good fortune to be able to work on a lot of acquisitions, and I always say the best feeling ever is once we close on a piece of property and we know it's always going to be protected. So it doesn't really matter where that is. You know, but once we've achieved that goal, it's a pretty special feeling.
That's so amazing. What about you, Cassia?
Well, I do appreciate the drama of the mountains, but also because it's more challenging to access and because I do get to spend so much time at Circle Creek, I feel like I have a more intimate relationship with that property. And one of you just said elk coming out of the mist, and I have seen that happen at Circle Creek. And also, I think, Teresa, you were talking about the coyotes howling. In Seaside, when the sirens go by, we can be in a meeting and we can hear the coyotes responding to the sirens. And it is so cool. Or there's this trail up the backside of Tillamook Head on Boneyard Ridge. And I led a walk and there were children involved. And we went to see the Magic Fairy Tree. And the Magic Fairy Tree has dozens of fairy doors on it made by a pileated woodpecker. Aww. And so all these doors are rectangular in shape and there are dozens and dozens on this snag and it is just magical. And this little walk that is maybe half a mile up the backside can take 2 hours because we're finding just all of the magic in the big things and the little things on our way up and back. I love it.
Okay, I want to go on that walk.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so inspiring. Mm. I mean, and that is wonderful. I love that both of you pick like big sweeping things, but also it's often the small things that we notice and the places that become really special to us. And there is a comfort in knowing that we can build that emotional relationship with a place and know that it's always going to be there. And it's going to change over time, but it's going to change because trees get bigger or they fall down. Or whatever, but it's essentially going to be there. I just thank you both so much for talking to us today. I definitely urge people to go check out North Coast Land Conservancy's website, nclctrust.org. Get involved, get connected, and thanks so much. This has been great.
This has been fun. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right.